Hey, Peg. Did you know we're out of towels in the bathroom?
The Married with Children Reunion.
We're here!
Gimme! Well,
howdy, neighbor!
Starring Ed O'Neill.
Home sweet hell.
Katie Sagal.
Yes. Now, kids, smile as if Daddy had died.
Christina Applegate.
It's the baby girl.
You know, I have a thought.
David Faustino.
If anyone asks, I'm not related to any of you.
Amanda Burse.
Thanks for such a good time.
David Garrison.
Donuts. Al, I'm horny. What are you going to do about it?
And Ted McGinley.
Nobody better pull my finger.
Let's rock.
Whatever you do, don't.
In 1987, there was a new network on the air, Fox, and a new kind of sitcom family, the Bundys. Nobody had ever seen anything like them. They were rude, they were crude, and they were definitely not the Cosbys. But they were funny. And a lot of people seemed to think that they were more like a real-life family. You know, the kind held together by misery, failure, and laziness. Tonight, we're going to look back at the Bundys' finest moments. We're all here, so stick around.
Remember how you always say it's important to do nice things for other people?
I never say that, son.
Then it must have been you, Mom.
No, I don't think it was me.
Must have been Cosby, then.
We're not the Cosbys.
Other sitcoms. They wanted to write an anti-sitcom.
Anti-Cosby.
Anti-Cosby.
And Family Ties was big then.
Because all the families were very nice and perfect. Mm-hmm. And
wasn't the working title Not the Cosbys?
Not the Cosbys. Right. Not the Cosbys.
But I always thought it was still sort of a satire, except that the way it was responded to was like, oh, yeah, my family's just like that. Or,
right.
Oh, yeah, I grew up that way. So I was sort of shocked, actually, that so many people had that many problems.
Daddy, we don't have any food.
My underwear has no elastic. Take it up with June Cleaver here.
To your health.
It was like exaggerated dysfunction. They weren't educated people. They didn't come from money. And they were more along the lines of white trash.
Missed a spot.
We could do more together. For instance, how much do we really know about each other? But. Right. Now, Bud, quick. When's Kelly's birthday?
It was yesterday, Dad.
I'm sorry I missed it, honey.
Happy birthday, sweetheart.
I grew up with Father Knows Best and shows that made you feel bad because life wasn't like that. And you thought it was supposed to be like that.
Everybody's really bitter and mean and dark. And let's just hear a little bit more of that.
Ladies, you're sticking out loud. Another Hallmark moment.
Married with Children was one of those first shows that said all the things we think about but we don't want to say. It really did. You know, it was disgusting. And crude. In the great way, because, you know, we're human beings. We all have these kind of odd thoughts.
it's the common thread, you know, where where society has not been good to them. You know, they don't feel they owe society anything. You know, it's the criminal, it's the Jesse James thing. It's like, these rules are not for us. They're only for people who society likes.
So you just flashed that badge at some registered voter, buddy. We're Bundys. We hate cops.
We would be antagonists with each other, but the second somebody came in and tried to hurt any one of us, this gaggle of, you know, apes would come together and kick butt.
Come on, kids! Let's kick some rich butt.
There's a lot of episodes where an entire Bundy family is beating the crap out of somebody else to protect their own.
There was an episode where we were in the movie theater and your boyfriend was up in the back with another girl. And oh,
yeah.
Kelly
yeah.
saw this.
Oh, Daddy, beat him up.
Of course, Bundy.
And she said, Daddy, go beat him up. And I ran up the aisle. I mean, you never see this in any other show. And the poor kid was like trying to get out of the seat, and I beat him.
I remember.
And was happy to do it, and came back down. And she said, "Thanks, Daddy." Now
that was it.
Yeah, you wouldn't see it.
You wouldn't see that. Yeah.
And that's why cable will never replace the movie-going experience.
Actually, when I first got the pilot script, and I thought, oh, these people are so mean to each other.
Al, another thing. Do not eat or drink anything. One of them may have to use the bathroom after you.
I'm going to hate these people.
You will not hate them. They are very nice.
If they were nice, they'd be dead, and I'd be at the game.
Get the door.
Good night, Juice. Al.
When we first read the pilot, it was so refreshing because nothing like this had ever been seen before because there wasn't a network to put it on.
Hello, I'm Marcy.
I'm Steve.
You have a beautiful home.
Yeah, so do you. Come on in.
Howdy, neighbor.
Yeah. I hate these people.
Yeah. I do remember the audience response when we shot the pilot, which
was it
oh,
big?
Yeah. Which was extraordinary.
Do you two have any kids?
Two.
Where are they?
I don't know.
And I thought they'll yank us off the air so fast that, you know, our ears will spin. But it's a job.
So I read it and was like, ugh, no.
I hate you. Good.
My agent said, this is a terrible project. It's not funny. It's insulting. It's gross. It's just awful. But they want to see you. And it's this new network that's no network. And I said, oh, gee, sounds just right up my alley. And then I went in and met them, and they looked like two gas station attendants.
Ron Levitt and Michael Moy were genius, and they were funny guys, and we were pumping out funny shows, and they gave it the chance.
They loved the opportunity to be on a network that didn't exist. And, you know, the whole thing about the Fox network at that time was we were going to be the rebel network.
What channel is it on, honey?
Fox.
Assume Fox viewing positions.
The campaign was, can you find your Fox station? Because
it was,
right.
It was all
that
UHF,
was, can you right?
find whatever, your Fox channel 30-some-some.
The answer was usually no.
We kind of had a sense of, it's going to be okay.
Yes.
Because they did just leave us alone because nobody was watching Fox.
Well, then
so
they
we're
started
good to
picking
go.
Us up for 2 years in a row.
I became aware of it because I used to commute back home to New York on the weekends. And like about halfway through the second season, walking on the street in New York, when the first UPS guy drove by and said, hey, Steve.
Yeah.
I think it just caught us by surprise that it was a hit.
Next, housekeeping tips from Supermom Peg Bundy. And later on, Al Bundy explains it all for you. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back.
Dad, when you were in school, did a girl ever do something to you? Something so rotten that it actually ruined your whole life?
Yes, and you call that girl Mom now.
Peg Bundy was the girl in high school that rode on the back of a motorcycle and just sort of smoked cigarettes at too young an age and sort of liked the bad boys. And they said that Al and Peg were in high school together, but I'd like to clarify right now that Peg Bundy was much younger than Al Bundy.
Big day today, Peg! I'm getting a raise!
Al,
You haven't had a raise since our honeymoon. And even that was below minimum. As a person, I have sort of a cynical edge, but not like Peg. I mean, Peg was really, could zing him. Where are you going?
Where does it look like I'm going?
Mr. Pudding Belly Tryouts? Oh, there's your daddy's car. Now, he's going to come in here and tell us he's failed. So let's practice what we're going to say to him. The classics never die. He was more the get-rich-quick on this scheme. You know, the everyman that's always trying to cut a break and win that lottery ticket. And she was a little bit more the voice of reason.
I can't believe it. Everybody in the world is making money.
Aw, honey, that's not true. You're not.
You're my rock, Peg.
And you are my albatross, Al. Look, honey, you're still a young man, and there's plenty of chances to make it big.
Gee, what's the matter with him?
Well, he's a shoe salesman. And he's losing his hair. And he wouldn't know a shower if he fell over it. And he has this horrible rash on his butt. I am so glad I'm not one of those women who needs a lot of makeup. You know, the way that we decided to dress her, you know, she was written as like a couch potato. And I thought, oh, no, I don't see that. That's not what I wanted to bring to it. So even at the audition, when I went to audition, I wore tight clothes and dolled her up a little bit.
Boys swing their derriero.
How did Peggy get her walk?
It's the shoes. When you wear those Fredericks of Hollywood mules, you just sort of walk that way.
Honey.
I think that Peg just thought she was hot.
Kelly, are you going out walking by construction sites again? Because if you are, give me 5 minutes, I'll put on something cute and come join you. There are two things Peggy Bundy doesn't do. Number one, cook, clean, sew, vacuum, iron, and parent.
Her idea of housework was sort of laying on the couch and asking if somebody else would do it.
Peg, I'm starving to death. I can't live like this. Now, I'm telling you, Peg, I want you to put something in that oven. Either food or my head. Either way, the neighbors will smell something cooking. Now, Peg, I'm making a stand here. I'm not kidding. I want a meal. I want it now. Get it?
Huh? What'd you say, Al? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. Doesn't anyone want breakfast? I have an egg and some M&Ms. I can make an omelet.
My life is over.
That's nice, honey. If you're hungry, there's sandwiches on the table and little fish bits on the floor. I don't know why you insist on dragging me along when you buy new underwear.
Well, you're the one that's got to look at them when you wash them.
Look at them, and I don't wash them. I just dry them.
Hey, Al, I think this thing is broken.
Peg, unlike many of your other devices, that one doesn't need batteries.
Mom, I had a horrible day. I could really use some motherly advice right now.
Shut up, bud. Oprah is doing a show on mothers who don't pay attention to their sons.
I think that her mothering style was more like the kind of I'm your friend kind of mother. I think that she, they always knew she was there for them. I think she deflected as much responsibility as she possibly could.
I decided to get a job.
A job? My God, the shame!
I don't think you'd ever see an episode where, you know, Peg would sit them down and give them, like, real advice that you could actually take with you.
Kids, you know the speech. You did a bad thing. Don't do it anymore. Okay, fine.
She would give her own brand of advice, and that just seemed to work for these particular kids, and that was successful for them.
Now, Kelly, here's what I think you're doing wrong. Stop
flirting with this boy at school. Get him alone, with no distractions. Get him to tell you all his secret dreams and hopes, and then use them to crush him. Now sit up, shut up, and brace yourself.
But wait a second, Peg. Remember, the kids are here. Now, if you want to have sex, they'll have to leave. And if you want it to be good, you'll have to leave.
You know, what I get all the time is like, why didn't you want to do it with Peg?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Always.
But that's
always.
The beauty of it.
The whole joke was that whoever you're married
to... Doesn't matter who you're married to.
Doesn't matter.
I don't want to have sex. You're my wife, for God's sake. Sex again. Peg, we've been married for 17 years now. Can't we just be friends?
No. I don't like you. I just want to have sex with you.
We could play bring the big bad wolf over to this little Peggy. You know, you'll huff and I'll puff and, well, that'll be about it.
I think that was the first time I ever saw on a television show that sort of thing represented, that problem between husband and wife, the boredom that can set in about the sex life, you know, where... It becomes a job. It becomes something that you avoid.
Hey, honey, now it's time to do your chores.
Wait a second, Peg, we had sex 3 nights ago. I'm still kind of woozy.
The garbage, Al. The longer of the two jobs.
And the more rewarding.
Don't you even know how to do that?
Oh, thanks, Peg. Now it's exactly like sex.
The other thing I thought was pretty cool was that her sort of acceptance of Al's little problem with the sex thing. She never seemed to let it, you know, get to the point where she'd say, get out.
Aw, honey, I know it would make you feel better. But I'll never leave you, not in a million years.
You know, it's times like these, I'd like to take you upstairs and plug that hole in the roof. Wear this.
I think it was hot underneath. I think when something finally happened, it was great. That's what I decided as an actor. Because, you know, why would she be, you know, begging and pleading for it all the time?
Just a quickie, Al.
Oh, Peg.
Oh, please, honey, just a quickie, I promise, and then I'll go right to sleep.
Oh, all right. Make it quick, because I'm not going to
come back. It's America's favorite overachievers, Bud and Kelly Bundy.
You'll never guess what I got.
A better game would be guess what you haven't got. I'll take virginity for $100.
Well, that's funny. Nobody will take yours for less than $1,000. The Bundy family motto is, it sees us, insults us, we kick its ass.
You were the rock, baby. She had the best work ethic. I mean, I couldn't even believe you were the, both of you, were the ages you were and could actually show up, know what to do.
It's hard enough
as an adult.
Let alone
less
be a kid.
You all went through puberty on national television.
Daddy, I'm ruined. My life is even more worthless than yours.
Why?
I've got a zit!
We had each other, which was a huge
balance that
we could, like, well, it was like a pulley system. Like, when one would kind of fall off, the other one would go, like, let's bring it back a little bit.
You are one heck of a little brother.
And we had you, guys.
It did become very family-like.
Totally, yeah.
Mom, you're cooking. Well, it's not every year Kelly gets promoted to the next grade.
I remember the first season Katie had a party. And she was like, you know, she was like my TV mom, and she invited me to her house for this party. Of course, I brought my mom because I was like 12 years old. I thought it was going to be like some, you know, we show up, there's like 50 Harleys parked outside. Everybody's like wasted. Oh, right.
You know, it's funny because 2 years later, when he was 14, we had a party at the bowling alley on Ventura. He stumbled out of the car with a playmate.
Mom, Dad, this is Tiffany.
It only took 2 years, man. Yeah, 2 years, and I was warped.
I'm off to the mall. Hey, Kel, I see you're wearing your Love Me For My Mind outfit again.
Well, that was like with Christina with her wardrobe. Remember how you'd they'd just make the clothes skimpier and tighter.
Kelly, go get changed into your sleaziest dress.
Which one? My favorite part of the show.
Kelly, to me, was unlike any other character I'd ever seen on television. She was what was going on, the big hair, the tight light for clothes. The rock video was very big, and, you know, you always had the band with, like, the one rock slut, and I just tried to incorporate all of that into this character that wasn't defined when we first started.
What happened to your date?
He wanted to study, so I just had to tell him I'm not that kind of girl.
I was inspired by this idea of her not being stupid, but really just kind of thinking outside the box, thinking in a different way than most people think.
I feel I make the statement that brains and decent knockers can go hand in hand to march us proudly into the 19th century.
And the writers just thought, that's it. So it was a nice marriage between what I brought in and what they had on the page, and this person sort of evolved out of it.
Mom, I'm on the horns of an enema.
Why didn't you call 911?
I couldn't remember the number. How do I look?
Oh, like a limited edition condom pack in Barbie?
I remember Michael Moy saying to me something about how that he didn't think that Kelly was actually a slut. It right. was really just what Bud was saying about her.
Right. He just said that to make you feel better.
That's what was going on.
Who the hell is this?
I'm Artie from Pizza by Jake. You owe me $7.50 plus a tip.
I'll give you a tip.
I've always felt bad for our actors that would come on, because I just knew that at some point that poor guy is going to get hurt. And they would.
Let me introduce you to the rest of the house. This is the end of the banister. Oh, and I meet my wall.
Thanks a lot, Dad. Now I'll never know his name.
Catch me, Bud. I think I'm gonna faint.
Okay, Kel.
That's a good segue into my character, Bud Bundy.
Now, Bud, I want you to go upstairs and do not come back down until you figure out something else to do with your time besides torturing your sister.
Why don't you just ask me to stop breathing? It's what I am. It's what I do.
Bud's in love.
I am not.
He's blushing, Mom.
She's pregnant, Dad.
Stuff a bra.
Pick a nose.
Eat toe rot.
Lick roadkill.
Chew Dad's socks.
Eat Mom's food.
Yep. Bud was the smart one in the family.
But he was the sanest of the Bundys.
Kind of
looking around like.
It doesn't matter what you did. It only matters that I actually saw God.
Zowie.
Must I be the meat in an imbecile sandwich?
Word through the peephole in the girls' shower room is that you're having a pajama party. Is this true? Girls here in pajamas?
Bud, please, your pimple is squirting me.
Basically, everything that I would do in my outside life ended up in the script, whether it was like my battle with zits or just growing
and
up,
you
know, like the puberty teenager. Everything was made fun of.
Like when David was Grandmaster B.
Yo, Roxanne. Grandmaster B here.
That's with a big G, a big B, and a real big, well.
They knew that David was sort of getting into hip-hop, and he was going to be this white rapper.
When the hat is on, I'm street rapper Grandmaster B. When it's off, I'm Bud. Got it? Now, the hat is on. Who am I?
Oh, cheer up, Buttwagger B.
Why, it's Grandfather B.
There, there, Crossdresser B.
I'm really sorry, Grand Marshal B.
Gas passer, bass haster, what's the difference?
Now, I have carefully crafted my look over the years into the finely honed babe train you see before you. To look at me is to love me. Sometimes love's a hurting thing.
But, you know, Bud was pretty successful because he had the greatest looking girls week to week. Yeah.
Come on, we gotta get out of here.
Well, won't it be awkward when your family sees me coming out of your room?
Oh, I have girls over here all the time.
Congratulations, son! Your first sleepover date!
Fly.
Tapeworm.
It's a brother and sister dynamic. It's the strongest bond in the world, but they will kick each other's asses. You know, it's like, that's just what brothers and sisters do.
Baby face, you've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one could take your place. Baby face!
Next on the Married with Children reunion, quality time with the all-American dad, Al Bundy.
Al Bundy, Al Bundy. Brave, courageous, and bold. Long live his fame, and long live his glory. Long may his story be told. Why doesn't the world die? All right, kids. All aboard! Never want to get married, I'm married. Never want to have kids, I get two of them. How the hell did this happen?
When I read the pilot, it just reminded me of my Uncle Joe. Just a self-deprecating kind of guy. He'd come home from work maybe and the wife said, you know, I ran over the dog this morning in the driveway. And he would say, fine, what's for dinner? You know, like resigned that it's a fate, that he's suffering. And that's how that was my take on it.
Ah, home sweet help.
I love you. Do you love me?
Love, hate, look, we're family, what's the difference?
Did you miss me?
With every bullet so far.
I love you, Marcy.
I love you, Steve.
I hate them, Peg.
They hate you, Al.
Al Bundy made All-City back in 66. 4 touchdowns. And I'm not talking the whole year. 1 game.
When Al was in high school, he was the man. He was the king. There was nobody bigger than Al Bundy in high school.
The victory was ours. For the school, the championship. For me, All-City. And a legend. And then your mother. The end. Okay.
The writers, the guys knew that I had played football. I played for 2 different colleges. And I was a rookie with the Steelers in 69. And so when they knew that, they said, it's more tragic that his glory was 2 years than it ended. You know, shoe store, marriage, children, the end.
Okay, Ms. Fisher, for $500, what occupation do most Americans feel is the lowest a man can have?
Shoe salesman?
That's the one!
Well, that was a summer part-time job when he was in transition from high school to college football. Then he knocked Peg up, and that became his career.
Look, lady, for the last hour, I've been trying to squeeze your foot into a shoe when I really should have been easing them into the box.
How dare you say that to my face?
Well, I'd say it behind your back, but my car's only got half a tank of gas.
You'll be hearing from my attorney.
Is that the law offices of Hagen and Dodds? Peg! Kids!
Thank you.
All right, Peg. Daddy loves you.
What does that toilet have that I don't?
A job.
I think Al's fascination, his love of the toilet, his time spent there, you know, that was his inner sanctum.
I mean, that was one of the classic episodes, is when he put his new toilet in.
How was it, Al?
I don't know, Peg. I'm constipated. This is the worst day of my life. I wonder if this ever happened to Dad.
Do you want me to undercook you some chicken, honey?
No, but thanks anyway, Peg. It'll take something a lot stronger than raw chicken to get me fixed up.
And now, stay tuned for the rest of our exciting ABC lineup. Roseanne, Moonlighting, and the award-winning 30-something.
This was a very broad style of comedy, I think. I think Ed O'Neill, I mean, he truly was so funny without saying anything.
Now what little dirty job do you have for me?
I did my share of physical comedy on that show. The Christmas show, for example, the Christmas lights were out. They had been there all year round. I said, all year long they're on, and the one day you need them, you know. And so he takes the screwdriver and stick it in, and as soon as I stick it in, the physical part was just to elevate, look, this surprise look at camera, and boom, drop straight down.
Sometimes I think it might have been better if I was never born.
There was another one where the roof was leaking and I had a pan on my head in bed and the water was dripping into the pan. And Peg said, shut the light out. And I reached over to turn the light out.
Turn
out of course,
the light.
I'm electrocuted.
Oh, and be careful, Al. God, it smells like ham in here.
My favorite scenes were the two of us sitting on the couch, just the world according to Al, yeah. And Steve sitting there desperately, desperately trying to make sense of, yes. of this. This repressed guy, you know, this, yes. this Neanderthal hidden deep inside.
Al, much brighter, you know. But Al would, you know, would never just putting it on him like, you know, like, don't you know, you know. Steve?
Well,
I'll tell you what happened, Steve. Somebody told women they should start enjoying sex, too. That was the beginning of the end. Now, they like it, but it's work for us. But, Steve, they need us just as much as we need them. Why? Because we can do the job, and you can't take a battery home to meet your mother.
Al, I am really upset with your wife.
Kill her.
Now, do you ever find yourself doing this at home? You know, when you're watching TV?
I go all the way.
That was funny.
I've been out with you so many times. Every time. People always have to think like they have to put their hands down their pants to say hi to you.
Every time.
Say Al. Could you say Al?
I always get, where's Marcy?
Where's Marcy?
I get, where's Kelly?
Where's Al? I always get, show your tits. I don't know.
Has nothing to do with the show.
Now, can you please tell me what a woman's body has to do with selling beer?
Pretty women make us buy beer. Ugly women make us drink beer.
Marcy, I think, was a real polar opposite of Al. So oftentimes it was that conflict that added a little spice to the show.
Excuse me, but doesn't anybody know this is against the law?
So is dressing up a chicken and calling it your wife.
The moments that kept the chicken thing going when I had my hands on my hips, but I think it was you who said, just move your head a little bit more.
I am not a chicken. Why does he keep calling me a chicken?
You're in no man's land now, baby.
The studio audience came to see Ed. You know, Al Bundy was like a hero to so many people.
And when Al Bundy walked through that front door, they went nuts.
Yeah!
Greeting, vultures. Your meal ticket's here.
G-Peg, I don't regret not having gone to college because, after all, then I might not have married you. Then what would have become of me? I would probably just live an empty, meaningless existence, ordering hookers and pizza till I drop dead. With a slice in my mouth and a greasy hooter in my hand.
That's Al, folks.
Hey, when we come back, the Bundy family's most memorable moments. Don't leave that couch.
Let the good times roll!
Every week, I remember having belly laughs. And I can remember thinking to myself, what other job in the world do I get to go to where I hysterically laugh?
That's
like
right.
This during...
Let's talk about the Christmas episode for a second.
Oh, Killing Santa? That was hysterical.
That was
Lakeside
funny.
Mall.
Lakeside Mall.
Santa Claus is coming to the Lakeside Mall.
Santa Claus is supposed to parachute into the Lakeside Mall. And we're watching it on television. You can see all of us on the couch just laughing.
Uh-oh, he's being blown off course. Our cameras have lost him. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know where he is.
And all of us sitting on the couch, and we know that this is happening,
laughing, you saw
and then
me.
Watching your lips,
I was
the
going
best
on.
Thing is to
I
watch your lips.
I was going on that. I couldn't stand it.
Santa's gone. I'll never be able to enjoy Christmas again.
Come on, Marcy, cheer up. It could have been worse. He could have landed on the picket fence.
Hey, girls! What do you say to this? Oh, no.
Well, I thought it was hilarious when we went to the cabin and all three of you had your period at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
God. And I the different ways that exhibited itself.
It's cold in here.
It's hot in here.
Hot and cold in here.
All three at once. What do they do? Give it to each other?
Our show really appealed to a male audience. I mean, men don't classically watch sitcoms, and men loved Married with Children.
The nudie bar, of course.
Oh, no.
We all kind of liked when it was going to be a week with the nudie bar.
Yeah, it was fun.
I don't know.
Hey, guys, listen. Since the wives are downtown feeding Christmas dinners to the homeless, shouldn't we be down at the nudie bar feeding dollars to the topless? Yeah.
Great idea. To the nudie bar.
Raise the bimbo. It's time to limbo.
Five, four, three.
Watch it, Jefferson!
Remember when we put up the satellite dish on top of the roof? The guys would roll it
off
right off,
and left. Yeah. Oh.
That was one of those things we talked about, the cartoon, you know, the Roadrunner, you know.
Yeah.
They'd sit in the lounge chair and then it would tip over backwards. And you know, but to see a Bob Rooney go off backwards, off, it's
yeah,
just
right.
funny, you know.
Right.
We all had these dummies made up. And I kill myself now for not getting the dummy at the time, you know, at the end of the show. Because that would have been great just for carpool.
Don't go away. The Married with Children reunion special. We'll be back in a minute.
Come on, Al. Live a little. You can't go through your whole life ordering food through a clown's head.
Oh, yeah? Cook some food!
The privilege of getting to work with good material, funny stuff, and then when you make it work, and it is funny, it's the greatest feeling. And to
That's
be able to do it over and over and over is just the best thing.
Oh, could you pick me up some pantyhose, nude toes, sheer to the tummy, and some tampons?
I'm dead, why don't I fall down?
I don't know why we even need bras.
Well, I think it's to keep your breast off the plate when you eat. Peg, if your life was any easier, you'd be in an urn in the garage.
A lot of shows, there was always a lesson to learn at the end. But I think Married with Children, you just sat down and for a half an hour. You didn't have to learn anything.
You just laughed.
Could I ask you a question?
Because we get horny and don't have the sense to say no.
Yeah, and we certainly didn't go into it to change anything. I mean, we
had a good
gig. Jobs, right. Great gigs, and we had a ball.
Definitely the best show on Fox.
I like that saying much.
Tang White.
It's a huge part of our lives. Some moments were very challenging and difficult, and other moments were just the best fun of anything. But it's a big chunk of time.
And it's an overwhelming
thing. I doubt we'll be doing anything in terms of careers with that amount of time.
11 years.
And with this kind of group of people either. You're not going to get this again.
Children was on the air for 11 years. Things changed on television. It wasn't long before there was a lot more room for our kind of comedy. The kind where you could feel free to make jokes about all the real stuff that people go through, like eating Tang wipes and dog food for breakfast. And the Bundys led the way. We didn't really think about any of that stuff. We were just having a great time. I hope you had a great time, too. For me and the rest of the Bundys, good night.
Mm-hmm.